Well, it's great to see everybody this morning. I hope that you're doing well. As was already announced, my name's Ron Petter, and along with my wife, Patty, we are... Oh, hang on. Thank you. We're here from the Hamilton Church. We're excited to come and serve, to share what God's doing in our lives, and hopefully to encourage you. It's great to see many old friends in the room, many new faces. I sort of wish Tony and Melanie were here. We're looking forward to seeing them. We're back next weekend. We've known them for many years. They are dear friends. We love them, and I'm sure that you love them also, and all the work that they're doing here. You know, anytime I visit a church, it's always difficult to know what to talk about. And so the safest thing is always to talk about what God's doing in my life. No one can argue with that. You cannot say to me, no, God's not doing that. I'm the one telling the story, and I know what's going on. I've been a Christian over 30 years. I'm old as dirt. I've seen many successes, and I've seen many failures. I've been in the full-time ministry for most of those years. In the full-time ministry, God doing great things, seeing challenging things, as God continues to work in my life and in the lives of people around me. In 2011, I was forced to leave the full-time ministry because my health took a turn for the worst. In 2015. 2011 was when I started to get sick. I went on disability. I was doing my PhD in theology, and I was forced to withdraw from school. My life stopped, and it was a very challenging time for me and my family. Recently, there have been some substantial improvements to my health, and we're very excited, Patty and I, to be able to serve in various ministries. I'm preaching once a month again in different churches around Canada and the U.S., I'm back finishing my PhD, and I'm on schedule to finish my PhD in theology this year. Finally. You have no idea how exciting that would be. One of the things I'm learning in my life is what faith really means. Now, you may be thinking, I've been a Christian, or you've been a Christian 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you know all about faith. Well, I've been a Christian over 30, and I'm still learning about faith. But more importantly, I'm learning about faith in my life. How do I show my Father in heaven my faith? Please turn with me over to Romans chapter 4. The title for our lesson this morning, as I shared the things God's been teaching me about my faith, the title for our lesson is Step into the Light. As you're turning, a little bit of background, and we're reading on what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Paul was using Abraham and his life as an example to teach his readers and us about faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God." Let me stop for a second and talk about that. This passage is reminding Abraham and us that no matter what we're doing, maybe we have some opportunity to boast before men, but none of us can boast before God. Paul's trying to correct their thinking. There must have been some boasting going on. Boasting about their faith, maybe. Some of them might be saying, "I'm the man. I just wrote an exegetical seminal work on Paul's missionary journeys. The exciting things I've learned, all of my great knowledge from Scripture, has deepened my legendary faith. Someone else might say, no, 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 I'm the man when it comes to faith. I wear my faith on my sleeve. Whenever I think of Jesus on the cross, I weep tears. So my faith must be genuine because it's real. Someone else might say, no, 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 I'm the man. I just returned from serving the poor, like I do every single week. I deny myself and go out and meet the needs of others. I'm being like Jesus. Look at all these people I'm helping. I am the man when it comes to faith. So often when we think about our faith, we look for ways to prove it. We look for things we know. We look for things we feel. We even look for things we do as ways to prove that our faith. And yet, in verse 3 is really the most important thing I want to share this morning. In Romans 4, verse 3, we read, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That no matter the great things Abraham did, no matter the great things he may have felt, no matter the great things he knew about God, what separated Abraham was that he believed God. God said, I love you, go. Abraham didn't say, well, I academically understand why that's the right thing, so I'm going to go. Abraham didn't say, man, I really feel like going. I'm going to leave my family, my friends, everything I have. I really feel like going. Watch me go. Nope. See that down there. Watch it go. Abraham didn't say, I'm going to show God by what I'm doing. No. He said, you know what? I believe you, God. I trust you. And the Bible says, and it's a great message, church, that's what made him righteous. Wasn't what he knew, wasn't what he felt, wasn't what he did. It was the fact that he made the decision, I'm going to trust you, God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. It's repeated down in verse 22. And later we're going to look briefly in Genesis 15. That same passage, credited to him as righteousness. Verse 4. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one whom God credits righteousness apart from works. You know, this is a very powerful statement. Because if you're anything like me, we think, or I think, well, my righteousness is about me. It's what I do. If I'm pure and I'm loving people and I'm doing it right, then I'm righteous. You know what the Bible's clearly teaching? Clearly. That is not works, is not what I do, but righteousness comes from God. Amen? It's not in my court. I'm not knowing enough, feeling enough, doing enough. It's God that brings the righteousness. My responsibility is to trust. This passage teaches, you ready for this? Even those who don't work. That's not fair. I'm doing a lot more than that guy. I mean, I'm out preaching and serving and traveling and away from my family. And yet the Bible says, doesn't matter. It comes from God. The important thing is that this person who's not doing those things, or if I am doing those things, for both of us, what God wants to see is trust, faith, belief, relationship is more important than what we know, what we feel, and what we do. Our faith, brothers and sisters, is credited to us as righteousness. Verse 7, let's keep reading. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. I debated whether to put this in, but I got a pet peeve here, and I got to share it with you. It's got to do with the word blessed. I got 4 years of Greek in my PhD. And in my understanding, this is one of those words that is so mistranslated and misunderstood. Blessed. It comes from the word, most commonly, comes from the word in Greek, eulogos. And if that sounds familiar, it's where we get our word eulogy. And so in the Greek, the word means to speak well of. In our culture, we hear blessed and we think, God's given me stuff. God's given me a job, a date, money, health. God's given me. That's not blessed. Blessed is when God speaks well of us. And let's be honest, brothers and sisters, isn't that what we want? On the final day, sit before our Father in heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't think God's going to go, hey, Ron, remember that raise you got? That was me. Yeah, I blessed you. Remember when I gave you stuff? God's not about stuff. When God speaks well of us, that's usually what that word means. Now, having said all that, that's not the one they use here. This word here is makarios, which is also translated as blessed, but it means joyful. Joyful. Blessed by God, joyful. That's pretty cool. Verse 7, joyful are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Joyful is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Please turn with me over to Genesis 12. As you're turning there, remember Paul is writing about Abraham. And the people reading Paul back in the first century, they knew who Abraham was. It's important for us, if we're going to get as much as we can out of this, to know why Paul chose Abraham. Genesis 12, in Old Testament theology, has got this funny word. They call it a hinge point. And they call it a hinge point because in the biblical narrative, in the Bible story, in Genesis 12, something changes that affects mankind forever. So they call it a hinge point. In Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I love this passage because it sounds like God wants to do something in Abraham's life. I will bless you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. All those things are things God is promising to do in Abraham's life. And we read about this thousands of years later because Abraham trusted God. He left his family. He left his friends. And at 75 years young, off he went. And remember, you probably don't know this, but if you do, remember, Abraham had just lost his father. And here God said, okay, I want you to leave all this, all your security, and get walking. And it was Abraham's trust that was credited to him as righteousness. And so, brothers and sisters, we should not be surprised if there are times in our life when God asks us to trust him. to start walking, to do things maybe that are uncomfortable or don't make sense, but to trust that God loves us and wants the best for us. Genesis 15, we'll read a little bit more here before we finish this part with Abraham. Abraham's starting to have some doubts. How human is that? God blesses, Abraham doubts. In verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, I've got to call attention to this. It doesn't say Abram believed in the Lord. Because sometimes we confuse those, right? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Well, we're all here today, so I hope you believe in God. Amen. The challenge for us is, do we believe God? When God says, I love you, trust me, I have hopes and dreams and plans. And Paul is choosing Abraham later as the example to remind them and us of what it means to be men and women of faith, to trust. So let's turn back to Romans 4 now. Now we've got a bit of background on Abraham. I'm going to pick it up in verse 1 again. We've read this before. Let me read it again. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Down in verse 6. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed, or I would translate it, joyful are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Joyful is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. And this forgiveness, brothers and sisters, comes from God and not from ourselves. Our loving Father in heaven who wants our relationship with you and with me. You know, after 30 years, you might think, what else is there to learn about your relationship with God? Well, let me tell you something. I'm a grandfather now. Those who remember my little girl in Toronto, and you may have been in Toronto years ago with the church, she's not a little girl anymore. She's 29, been married, it's her fourth year. And they have a 10-month-old daughter. And I learned a lot about my relationship with God with my new granddaughter. I was there. Patty and I were in the hospital in Chicago in a different room when the baby was born. Olivia was born. Ronnie and her husband Benjamin, they had some time as a family to bond. About a half hour later, we came in. And my little girl looked up and gave me her little girl. And I held this 6-pound couple ounces of flesh. And to be honest and real, I didn't feel anything. I was waiting for the Lion King moment. I was waiting for the music to start, the animals are talking, the nurses are dancing in the hall. I was tired. I was excited that everybody was healthy. You know, a month later we went back, and to be vulnerable, we've been back every month since. And I always say I'm going for a leaders meeting or a teacher's conference, or I just go to everything in Chicago so I can get time with my granddaughter. and my daughter. A month later, I went back, and Ronnie put this child in my hands. And my little granddaughter looked up, and for the first time, she looked at me. And my life changed forever. I'm there once a month. I'm on the iPad with her a couple days a week. I pray for this child every single day. If you're a grandparent, you know what I'm talking about. It changed my life. And as a Christian, I thought to myself, I wonder if God's like that with me. You know, God's excited when I'm doing the right stuff and I'm there and I'm believing in Him. But I think what God really wants from me and from you is to look to Him and be engaged. To trust, to believe, to reach out. Christianity is about engagement. It's about a love that initiates and continues with our Father in heaven. God desires my engagement and yours, brothers and sisters. So one of the things I've been doing is going back to a place called Prince's Point, where I used to go to and pray every day in Hamilton when I first went in the ministry in 1991. I go down there almost every day with a coffee, and I just talk to God. I meditate, do a little praying, I just talk. I talk about my day, I talk about how awesome my wife is, I complain about my school, I just talk. And it's really encouraging and refreshing. You should ask my wife, I do it every single day. I get in the car and I just drive down there. I go to Tim's, I get a coffee, and I just sit down there. And it's awesome. And I believe with all my heart that we all need to keep growing in our relationship with God. How we view Him, how He views us. Let's drill down a little deeper as we're almost done here today. Let me talk about knowledge. And again, I've said it before. I've been a preacher a long time. Saying it once is not enough. I'm going to say it again. Often when we think of our faith, we tie it to knowledge. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is the good news of Jesus. Amen. Knowledge is the starting point. Knowledge is not the goal. Knowing about God is not the same as trusting God. It's a great place to start, and we need to know some stuff, amen? I shared it with the church in Hamilton a couple months ago. We had a brother come in, do this multi-week series on grace. It was awesome. The church was fired up, talking about God's love and forgiveness. And I sat down with some of the brothers after, some of the guys that were training to be teachers at the Hamilton church. And you know what struck me? It struck all of us. There was such excitement about learning about grace, but there was no talk in the church about being more graceful. Brothers and sisters, God's goal for you is not to know about grace alone. When we're in heaven, there's no pop quiz. Give me the 5 scriptures on grace. All right, good, you understand that. God's goal for you and I is to be more graceful. Don't confuse knowledge with faith. Knowledge is not the goal. Could be argued to be the starting point. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 warns us, knowledge can puff up. Be careful. Knowledge is necessary to engage God. But again, you can be real knowledgeable and still not trust God. Amen? Let's continue with about our biblical faith. I'll share with you a story that I read a couple months ago about a professor who could wax eloquent about the cross. He would preach about the cross. People were moved. It was awesome. He knew more stuff than you could shake a stick at. Eyes would fill with tears in the crowd. But then his best friend would share personally about the cross and begin to cry right away. And it'd be so easy to look at those two people and say, ah, the guy who's crying, he gets it. He gets it. That's our human nature. We're looking for the right and wrong. He gets it because he's emotional. Yet, emotion doesn't always mean trust and faith. In fact, 2 Corinthians 7 warns us, godly sorrow brings repentance, but worldly sorrow leads to death. You can actually feel sorry for the wrong reasons. You may feel sorry for yourself. You may feel sorry for what Jesus is going through. But real emotion in and of itself is not faith. So let me say again, we can be emotional and still not trust God. Amen? Finally, in James 2:18, someone says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Great scripture, makes sense, but be careful. Be careful, because this does not teach, and other places do not teach, that we're saved by what we do. Doing the right things is not a default to faith. The Bible warns us we're not saved by our deeds. Revelation 3:1 and other places. There's no doubt, brothers and sisters, part of the Christian life is service to others. Amen? But great deeds don't always lead to being faithful. It's possible to work hard for the Lord, do lots of great stuff, are you ready for this? And still not trust Him. So the goal is trust. Faith. It's not what we know. We need to know some stuff. Not what we feel. Part of the relationship, it's important. It's not what we do. And Christians need to do some good things, amen? You know what those things all share in common? They're all about me. Let me tell you about my faith. It's what I know. It's what I feel. No. It's what I'm doing. You have to be careful. Real faith should be about God and what God's doing in your life and mine. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Our knowledge, our emotion, our action, they may indicate our faith, or they may not, but they don't in and of themselves show that we are being faithful. And righteousness is a gift from God in heaven. So let me close by sharing from my life. Time to drive it home today. I've been preaching a long time. Got to have the practical. Several months ago, I had an opportunity to lead a Bible study in my house with our family group. And I looked at Mark 4, Jesus in the boat, the wind and the waves. And we talked about their lack of faith. And we were all vulnerable with each other about areas in our lives where we found it difficult to trust. I shared about my health. 8 years ago, last March, I was admitted to the hospital with congestive heart failure. I could not walk. I had difficulty talking. My ankles were like balloons. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't breathe. It was not a good time in my life. I was told over a month and a half span by two different specialists that I had less than a year to live. Now, when one doctor says that, that's not a good thing. When a respirologist says you've got a year to live because of cancer, and then a cardiologist says you've got less than a year to live because of your heart, that's not a good month. Two different guys, two different reasons. It makes you examine your life. And I don't know who was in the room when they had my going away party. I know John was there. I'm a little different now than I was back then. I couldn't take 10 steps. It was difficult to get you to appreciate what it's like when your heart is failing. For me, it was extreme being out of breath. So I did not die, obviously. But I'll be honest, the last 8 years, there have been times it's been tough. Last year and a half has been amazing. But the other 6 years or so haven't always been amazing. There were times it would take me 3 or 4 days to do what I used to do in one day. And even today, I'm still takes me a couple days. I can run errands and clean the house and do the shopping and cooking, a little yard work. But in terms of the total I get done, I'm still limited by what I can do. But years ago, I was really limited. Years ago, it was so bad some days that I would be stuck in the house. I couldn't leave the house. And then there were days that it was so bad, I couldn't leave the floor because I couldn't walk back up the stairs. Wow, was that frustrating. It's not the life I wanted. I served in the ministry at the time over 25 years. I remember yelling at God, doesn't that count for anything? I just want to serve. I just want to get out. I want to share the gospel. I want to teach people about you. I want to help others. Why are you putting me through this? Very frustrating. Why are you punishing me? And I can look back and say there are times that I did not trust God. But then I look at the last 8 years, and there are so many great things that have happened. I have grown in my appreciation and love for my wife tremendously. I could not have made it through without her. There were many times that it was tough. And I feel like in those tough times, she was the one who shouldered the burden. Patty and I became legal guardians to a young man that came off the street into our house 2 years ago. So we're raising this boy now, born in Ethiopia, raised in Ancaster, and now he's in our house with us. That would not have happened. We have a great opportunity, and we really enjoy having him with us. We have another guy living with us for 3 years now, 30-year-old guy, Humberto. It's not like we have two kids again. And we love him. We love our lives. It's great to have them. I got to see my son take the lead in the school play doing Grease. That's awesome. I got to walk my daughter down the aisle and dance at her wedding. I traveled to Anchorage, Alaska, to 100 miles north in February in a camp that my son helped to build to be in his wedding. I'm doing my PhD again, and it's going really well. And I'm a grandparent. The truth is, I need a new heart valve. When I was young, I had cancer 4 times. Lost one of my kidneys, had it in my lungs, had radiation, chemo, 15 years later, in my bones, lost 3 ribs, then 2 more. So I got lots of pieces missing. And then totally clean for 35, 40 years. So they think some of the heart problems are because of those issues. So the truth is, 4 times I've been to the well where my cardiologist has said, time for a new heart valve. Your aorta should be the size of a garden hose. Mine's a straw. And 4 times I've got to the surgeon. He said, I don't know why, but your symptoms don't match up. We're going to wait. So I know I'm going to need a new one someday. But I trust God will make it obvious whenever that day is. Could be in a month, could be in 5 years. As for today, I'm loving life and I'm really happy. I share those things, not that God answers all my prayers. I share those things, not as the power of positive thinking. I share those things because it's real life. And brothers and sisters, the truth is, real life is good and bad. Finances are good and bad. Challenges are good and bad. The biggest challenge we all have is, no matter what's going on, is to trust God. I try to pray now, not for God to change my health, but for God to give me strength to do whatever he's going to do with me. God loves me. God loves the churches. And I need to trust him. Craig S. Keener had a quote, and I'll close with this one. He said, faith is not a leap into the dark, but rather a step into the light. What does that mean for me? Sometimes we think faith is this big unknown. But the truth is, most times, faith is actually quite well known. I know it's coming for me. Faith is not leaping into the darkness about my health. I know what's coming. It will be more tests. It'll be good news and bad, successes and failures. And my responsibility is to embrace and trust God and step into the light. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that this morning is a time when you hear God asking you to trust him. Friends and family visiting, let me say again, faith is not merely knowledge, emotion, or action. Those things may be a result of faith. We believe in a loving God who loves us, wants the best for us, who sent his son to die on the cross in hopes that we might turn to him and trust him. I pray that you'll make decisions to study and learn more about this God, that you may enjoy the faithful life God wants to share with you. Maybe you're studying the Bible right now. You know, the truth is, the problem's not the unknown. Your problem is trusting God. You know about the commitment. You know about the sacrifice. You know about the call. You just have to decide to trust God. That's the biggest challenge in any of our lives. Let me encourage you, step into the light. Step into the light and trust God. Maybe for all of us who've been around a while, maybe it's loving the loss. If you're anything like me, sometimes we think, oh, I got to go study it out again. You know, most of us could teach lessons on this. What's it been, 10, 20, 30 years we've been loving the lost? We don't need to study it. Oh, I need to go pray about it. Nah. Got to get my heart right. Nah. You just need to step into the light. You just need to do what you know God wants you to do. Amen. It ain't magic. We know what it is. It's in the light. And finally, maybe there's a relationship that you're having trouble forgiving somebody. God loves that person. Finding the humility and strength to reach out and forgive can be challenged. But your challenge this morning is not a leap into the dark. It's stepping into the light and doing what you know is right. You know it's what God wants. You know what to do. You just don't trust God. And I want to encourage you to trust him, to take him at his promise that he will look after you, that he loves you. God does. And so again, we're not saved by what we know, what we feel, or what we do. As we step out in the light, we're saved by our trust and our faith in God. Amen? Amen. May it be said of all of us that God's love was not without effect in our lives, and we were faithful men and women. And the church said, amen. I believe now we're doing communion, if I understand correct. So we pass the wine and the wafers together. Is that what we're doing in Hamilton, in Ottawa? All right, let me say a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to gather together, to sing some songs, enjoy fellowship, to look at your word, Father, to be reminded of the depth of your love and your desire for a relationship with each and every one of us. As we take this bread that represents your body that was broken, the body of your son, rather, that was broken, we're reminded of the depth of your love and your value, Father, the value that you place on each and every one of us. As we take this bread, help us to remember your love in our lives. As we take the juice, Jesus, thank you for your blood that was spilled to remind us of the cost of sin, to remind us of your depth of love. May it always remind us to trust you. We pray, Father, as we celebrate all this, that we turn to you and make decisions in our lives to live faithful lives to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.